The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
Welcome to the One Fall Podcast. We're back again this week with another new show. No Joshua Arbuthnot, as he is covering everything with the NFL draft. So if you want to talk about that, hear anything about that, go check out his podcast that he has on everything NFL related. Mo is here to join me. How the hell are you, Mo?
You know, he at least bothers to do my nicknames and stuff. Futures, Crown Prince of Chris, all that good stuff. Are you, getting a little lazy or what?
I just figure I'm going to... Everyone knows by now that, like, you're a two-time G1 winner. Like, I just...
Yeah.
At this point, I'm just bitter because I don't think I'm going to be able to beat you this year because there may be no G1.
Yeah, so. I know. And really the sad part about that is I was definitely going to win again. So yeah, that's the part you want to really.
That's my white whale that I'm chasing is winning the one fall G1 pick'ems. Because I remember when Josh was ahead last year and it's just like, yeah, no,
that was pissing everybody off.
I was like, I can't have any of this. And then just came down and you got it.
Yeah. You got it. It helps that both years I picked the winner. Like, the people in the finals, the winners, that I got that right. Especially that first year where, no Tanahashi, a lot of people were going, oh, he's going to be phased out and this and that. And that really gave me an edge over you. And yes. Pretty much most people at that stage.
That absolutely put you ahead because I don't think anyone going into it, and then when you see the story that they're telling in the G1, in both years, every year there's a G1, you look at the story they're telling, and you just see how they're carefully piecing it. It's got to be such a hard on the brain for mapping everything out, but when you map it out well, and they have done for the last several years, it's just an incredible story to watch.
Oh yeah, and Gato just uses a piece of paper and he's old school, man.
He has been like just the research, because that's the one thing that I think you have and I have as well been really missing is the Japan shows, missing New Japan content because. Like, you see in the Squared Circle subreddit, people are posting constant clips from old wrestling matches. Like, right now on the front page, they've got Kenny Omega landing two V-triggers and a brainbuster on Ishii. And then just a few little slots down is a hot tag from Ricochet from New Japan Wrestling Doku from 2017. Like, they just... There's constantly stuff from New Japan because I think a lot of wrestling fans are missing it.
Yeah, well, definitely, because we haven't gotten anything. And it caused me to go back in the archives and go, hey, you know what? Because here's the thing. G1 is so great, but it's also burnout, right?
Yeah.
Like when you're done with G1, it's tough to commit to anything for a while, so I ramp right down usually. Sometimes I think like World Tag League, I might watch that every now and then, things like that, but as a general rule I ramp right down after G1 until it's time for the Tokyo Dome. Well, in doing so I missed out on something great, and when I went back and watched it, I was immediately contacted you and was like, go watch this is great. And you know what I'm talking about.
I know Juice and Thunder Liger's last program or last match with Minoru Suzuki, and just the angle that they shot beforehand, the tag team match, and just how that played out, and when Liger's ripping off all his the stuff to reveal, is it Kishin Liger?
Kishin Liger, yeah.
And yeah, do you have any backstory on that character that Liger had?
Well, that character was created basically because it was a takeoff on the Great Muta, right? It was the Great Muta because he was feuding with the Great Muta. And the Muta had the, you know, so basically he tried to, the idea was he became, you know, that character in order to beat Muta at his own game, to be able to fight him in his own game, beat him in his own game. So that was, that's basically the background of that character. You know, I had forgotten completely about it, like, completely about it at the time, but it was when I saw it, I was like, that's very cool. Like, it's very cool to be seeing that again. And that's the type of thing that it's like, that helps to make New Japan stand out, things like that.
Oh yeah, because like, you see, once he rips it off and he takes off the mask and he's got all the makeup on his face and he just looks like something at a horror movie, and Suzuki's scared. Like, he's fleeing the scene because he's absolutely petrified. Tanahashi, who's one of his tag team partners and one of the bigger babyface in Japan, Liger's knocking him down, and that the spike on the table is just insane. Like, just, you see it and you just see how much it cuts through the table and it's sticking out on the other end. It's just... And even the post-match, like, having the interviews and Suzuki laying on the ground laughing like the crazy person he is, and Liger coming after him, and you're like, I'm sold. I can't wait to see this match between these two. Now, the match itself, what are your thoughts watching that match initially?
So good. I watched that. Like, I've been, over the last few years, you know, kind of like... When it was Liger's time, I was kind of like, yeah, I think it is time. Because, you know, that's how it felt. But when I watched that, I thought, no, dude, don't retire. Because the big thing about it is he comes out as that one. And again, he's not the normal. He's Battle Liger, right? So, again, he's got a different mask. He's got a different look. No top on. And you never, like, the top that we usually see him in, that full bodysuit, it looks like you don't know what kind of shape he's really in.
Yeah.
And I saw him and I was like, oh my God, this 50-year-old guy's like unbelievable shape. Like, he looks the body of a 20-year-old, like, just incredible. And then the match, the psychology and I even went back and watched the fight they had, you know, and watched basically Liger get destroyed in that fight that they had, that was the basis for this, their MMA fight. And like, the psychology in this was so great because Liger was trying to, you know, kind of be trying to land the submissions, trying to hit the submissions against a guy who's clearly better at it than him. But I don't know, it was so like it was not the Liger used to see. There wasn't high flying moves or anything like that. It was a combination of submission match and a brawl. I think the only other match that kind of reminded me of is the match between Austin and Brett at WrestleMania 13, because it had that same feel of it. It was an I quit match, but a brawl. And this was a submission, really largely, you know, trying to use submissions, but a brawl. And then the ending. Oh, dude, you know, I was wondering. I actually thought Liger was going to win, you know, because I didn't remember the results or anything. I'm watching it thinking Liger's going to win. He didn't. But he got put over big by Suzuki post-match. And it's one of those angles where it's like, it's simple. And yeah. It's not, you know, but it's so effective. And that's when wrestling's at its best, when it feels real to the guys and then it feels real to you, you know? And that was just an awesome angle, an awesome post-match. And I just, like, I loved it.
Yeah. It just had you enthralled. Like, you were sucked into this feud and it was all done off one angle. And like rewatching it again, cause I saw the match and I saw the angle. And I was like, oh, this is great. And then you watch it again, but you watch it back to back. And even after it's finished and you watch the video package, and The bulk of it's in Japanese, but you understand the basic principles of why these two want to murder each other in ring. And like Liger to me looked like guys that you would see in the 80s, like just their build. Like he looked like a guy that was well built. It wasn't like these muscly, veiny guys. It was just a very well built fighter. Like he. Mm-hmm. And you forget because he's a junior heavyweight, but when you see him like that, you're like, he's not a junior heavyweight. Like, he looks massive. And then you see Suzuki, and Suzuki's probably one of my favorite characters in Japan because it's basically murderous grandpa that will slowly torture and kill you. And just the ending, just him bowing, and especially with the run that Suzuki's had and how established of a demented sociopath he is, because he'll inflict pain for fun, and just the way he bowed to Liger just speaks volumes to what Liger meant to wrestling as a whole. And that was one of the things that when you see that, you're like, oh man, like this is the ultimate sign of respect, especially from this man who's gone out of his way to torture other people. Like, exactly. This is just insane. And it's like, oh, this... It was fantastic. Excellent, excellent recommendation.
Yeah, no, I was so—I just loved it so much. I was so impressed with it, and again, we needed it because there's been a lot of kind of negative crap that's been, you know, out there right recently, and this is a reminder, and it's for things like Dark Side of the Ring. I mean, we never talked about the Nancy Argentino one, but you know, the Dark Side of the Ring was definitely. You know, that's a tough watch. That and the, you know, the Dino Bravo one this week, things like that, right? Like it's, and then just everything else going on in the world. I needed a reminder of why I love wrestling. I got that reminder.
You know, the one thing that New Japan has done, and I think I'm going to start going down more of a rabbit hole, is they're starting to post more matches with English dub.
Oh yeah, like it's, yeah. They've been taking the time. They were already doing that with Liger and stuff like that. And actually, they had done it a little bit before, but with Liger, they were really doing it quite a bit. Like some of his old matches were being English dub, but here in this break that, you know, we've been forced to have in the world, they've been doing it even more and some really cool stuff.
I think it just at this time it can be a reason that you bring in more fans. Like right now. They've got I believe it's the ladder match between Kenny Omega and Michael Elgin, Hiroki Goto and Shinsuke Nakamura for the IC title has English dub. G125 tournament block B, Nakamura versus Okada. Like they've got an Okada Tanahashi match.
Yeah. I think what was that from, like 2008 or something like that? 2011? I think it's 2011.
I think you're correct. I think it doesn't say the date on it for that one, but it's like they've got English commentary for one of my favorite matches, Ibushi versus Nakamura.
Yeah.
Like it just
Well, they already had that because JR called that one back in the day.
That's right, because that was the Wrestle Kingdom.
But now they got their right. Now they got their right. You know. Now they got their right announced team doing it. So.
Like they've got Tanahashi versus Prince Devitt. Like it's just little things like that, and they have the movie. My dad is a heel wrestler.
I have not watched it yet, but I'm looking forward to it. Did you watch it?
I haven't seen it yet. That's something that maybe can watch down the line, and we can record a mini show on.
They don't have that long, if I remember correctly. They don't have the rights for that long, so it's not going to be on there permanently. So we definitely should watch it and get a review.
Oh, yeah. I think that's something to absolutely watch. Man, you talk about New Japan, and I feel like this was a good way to kick this show off because I feel like it's very positive and it's very different from the last little bit of show since all this has happened because it's been very not as positive, and there's some stories that we're going to hit on and some topics that aren't going to lead down positive roads, but there's one other positive thing I want to talk to you about, Mo. And it's my love. WWE has been crap. Like, just outside of it's been crap, But the one, maybe the two shining things that I've seen, I've been like, I'm really enjoying this, is Zelina Vega's stable. I've enjoyed just them kind of doing their thing. And I've really liked McIntyre as the world champion. He feels like the world champion. He looks like a world champion. Like, just the little bit of personality you see, the little references that he'll throw out to other things happening within the world. Like, even that suicide dive that he did, and all three men beautifully caught him, and he sprung up, and he's like, I can do it all, as he yells at Vega and rolls in the ring. I don't know what your thoughts are on Drew's run right now, but I think he's been absolutely solid for them.
I think it's way too early for me, to be honest with you. It's so early, and I don't know. I think he has all the potential to be a great world champion, but it's so tough without the crowd to have him say he feels like a world champ to me. Like, it's just so damn tough. You need that crowd.
Do you think he'll have the championship whenever this?
I can't answer that. How can anybody answer that? We don't know when that is. Right? Like it could be 4 months. It could be a year. Like, it could be 4 weeks. We don't know. So yeah. You can't say that. And you can't say if anybody else. I mean, I'm not sure how they're judging it. Are they judging it I guess I do know how they're judging it, because they're judging how they always judged it, and that's what Vince McMahon thinks is best. That's the only,
that's the only thing that matters.
That's the only thing, you know. So that's, I guess, how you do it. But I'm definitely, I would be following to see I guess you really have nothing but social media, really, to judge how people are reacting. It's the closest you're going to have to a crowd reaction now, I suppose, which feels, it kind of sucks. But, yeah. I guess if to the internet audience somebody else got super hot, maybe you could go with him. But, McIntyre feels like a long-term guy, barring injury. He feels like a long-term guy. In fact, I'm already thinking that him and Lesnar at Mania in a rematch, and that'll be the first time they have a rematch. It could happen at their SummerSlam, theoretically. But I'm thinking that that could go off on in a year's time, and he could have it for the full year. So we'll see. I mean, he's also babyface now. You got the whole weird thing with Reigns and what's going on there. Does Reigns come back? Do they, it feels like McIntyre needs to get his win back over him, like, logically, if he's going to be the guy. So it's just all these moving parts, it's tough to say.
That creates a diversion in the conversation that I'll get to, but I do agree. I certainly hope, I've really enjoyed what he's done, and I really hope he gets his moment, where I hope he clicks. He's one of those guys that I just hope it works out. I hope it all lines up and he's able to just ride high, because I really I've enjoyed this, and I've enjoyed everything that I've seen for him outside of the ring. It's one of those things. I think it's similar to Becky in some ways, where you've seen enough kind of little things from Becky from Twitter and outside that it was really easy to get behind Becky heading into before Mania. I think she lost a little bit of steam towards the end, but it feels very similar to Drew, where you just have seen enough little things about him outside, and you've just heard enough stories about how he was on the independents when he got released. It doesn't sound like he was a jerk, and he didn't demand that he be at the top. He seemed like he crawled his way back up, and he earned every opportunity that he got. And I for one, hope he finds, he gets that footing again. His coronation couldn't have come at a worse time. And I'm curious to see what it looks like on the other side, whenever that happens.
Yeah. It's really strange, because he feels like the good thing is he feels very much like he could be, booking proof to some way, because they're gonna book him strong. You know, they've booked him strong since he's been back, really, and they're gonna continue to do that. But yeah, I mean, it feels very much like he could be booking proof, but he's gonna need to be, because nobody gets booked well. They're not good at it, right? So no, you have to. Everybody has to overcome that, and that includes him.
I certainly hope that he does become booking proof. And he finds his way to continue to be.
So few people have been so far.
Yeah, and it's at such a small margin, and it sucks.
And here's the one thing, and it's not, certainly I don't think it's fair to blame him or anybody there right now. But, well, I mean, there is something to it. The ratings have been crap since he got the belt, and since Strowman got these are scary bad, you know. And then the metrics though. Like when you look at the first or the last quarter and they talk about that, the metrics were terrible there too, except for, of course, the TV rights deal. But so, I mean, it's not like it's new, but the fact that we have he hasn't sparked anything, definitely hasn't slowed down anything since he's become on. It's tough because it's like, well, that seems to be the thing about wrestling right now. And, you know, in the pandemic and no crowds, nobody wants to watch it, you know, less and less. But on the other hand, you see some of the content, like the incredible ratings for the NFL draft and the great ratings for the Michael Jordan documentary and just these different things. And it's like there's definitely a desire for fresh content right now, but it has to be done right. So I I'm not laying all the blame on him, but I'm not sure how much blame they might lay on him because, well, you know,
I mean, that is the reality with WWE. Reality may dictate one thing, but if they see it differently, that's their reality, and that's the reality they're going with. So it is going to be very curious to see what happens. You bring up an excellent point with the ratings and where they've been right now. They have not been good at all, and it's one of those things where I'm very curious to see what things look like on the flip side. And the other side of the coin, and one of the other diversions that I don't think we've ever talked about on the podcast, is the curious case of Roman Reigns. Yeah. Because it has come out that the speculation is that he could be gone for 18 months, or at least until a vaccine is created, because his health and well-being is way more important than being a professional wrestler. It's just that simple. But it was reported, I believe, early last week, that word came down from Vince that no one is to mention or talk about Roman Reigns. He's not to be mentioned or brought up in any way. And you can really take that two ways. You can either take that as, we don't know when he's going to be back, so we shouldn't promote him at all. Or it could be taken, the guy bailed on us, so we're upset with him right now.
So which do you think it is?
Vince McMahon's like throwing a coin up the air and then having like five other coins land around you, and you're trying to pick which one you threw in the air. He's just massively unpredictable with his flip-flops, and you can flip the coin, you can get one thing, and then halfway through the coin flips on you, and you're like, what is it? The flip-flopping of McMahon makes it very hard, but I look at the other piece of evidence that I look at is how the Goldberg and Braun match was handled. There was nothing creative about it. There was no excuse given. There's no mention of Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, really. His name was not really talked about. He was in the opening package for both nights. And it was just like he disappeared. And I really do wonder, and I lean a little bit more, because I don't feel one way or another, but I kind of lean more towards, I think they're upset with Roman. I think they look at it as he kind of bailed on them at a time when they needed him the most. What do you think it is?
I don't think it's that, and Lord knows I hope it isn't that. But I legitimately look at it as, okay, think back to, excuse me here, I got a cough for 1 second. Cough button. I look at it legitimately, or the same way as when, remember when Austin had Heyman on, and Heyman was, you know, talking about him and you know, basically was promoting Austin versus Brock, and it was a match they couldn't deliver, and Vince flipped out. And so, I mean, historically, I kind of look at it that way. Like, that's kind of Vince's thing. If he can't deliver it, he doesn't want to talk about it. So I'm leaning towards it's that. It's that same idea. Because I've seen that from him before. I've seen a history of that, which makes me think that it's, you know, very possible that that's it.
I certainly hope you're right. I really do.
Yeah, it's because tough to say, though, because, you know, Vince, right?
It's going to be very curious, because when you look at Roman's career as a whole right now, up to this point, because I feel like it's that the brakes are on it right now, and for good reason. But when you look at it, I feel like Roman's career has been a lot of ups and downs, and there's not been any, like, you look at Okada in Japan. He had a massive reign there. He was the top guy. He's solidified as the top guy. It just feels like with Roman, it's always been up and down, up and down, up and down. Either he's going to be the guy to win at 31. Oh, no, we're going with Seth. Okay, now he's going to be the guy. No, we're going to he gets popped for testing positive. So in the Shield triple threat, he's losing. Then he comes back and is the guy. No, we're going to actually have him lose to Brock. And that's when Brock threw the title at Vince. Then we're going to have him go over, and it's just like a constant pendulum swing of we're going to make you the guy versus something getting in the way. There's always feels like there's been something in the way, and I'm curious to see how they look at things when he's back. And I'm curious how Drew factors into this, how the ratings factor into this, and how financially where they are as a company.
Yeah, I was thinking that the other day was the really funny thing about this is that now, for the first time, because I think that how you're viewing it is how most people are viewing it, in that it's petty and you know they're on Reigns' side here, and yeah, I mean, it's creating. I think for the first time. Even more so than especially if he's gone 18 months, but you know, if there's the perception from the crowd that he got screwed over, he deserved the shot, everything like that. Like right now, if this was in front of a live audience, I think Braun would be getting booed out of the building.
Yeah. Oh yeah, like, absolutely.
And that's different. And I think Braun would come out there as a babyface, and we'd be hearing chants for Roman. You know, and the irony of all this is Vince McMahon tried on purpose to manipulate pull the strings and to get this reaction for Roman Reigns for years. And now through his booking incompetence or his pettiness or his Vince McMahonism or whatever, and even if it is or isn't real, it's probably going to work out for him for the first time that Reigns is going to become this hot baby face that is just, you know, what they've always wanted him to be. Because all of a sudden, he's the guy who feels like he got screwed out of his spot. All of a sudden, he's the guy who feels like he did the right thing, and he's being punished, and the company company sucks. Everything that you would say about Daniel Bryan that made him loved, all of a sudden kind of goes to the thing about Reigns. That he's not getting his due because, you know, and how dare you? And so, yeah, it's really, this is like the weirdest situation ever, without question.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned that, and that's what I was thinking. Regardless if it's true or not, Roman's a babyface in a lot of people's eyes. And if even like a little false story gets out there where it was that it was being petty, and we've seen how information gets skewed and jumbled around. If this comes out and WWE's taking it, like they're taking their lumps right now. They're taking a beating PR wise. And if something comes out.
And deservedly so.
Oh yeah. No, they should be getting hit on the nose a few more times. But if that continues in any way, shape, or form, or WWE something comes out that makes WWE look bad and Roman look better, I think you're going to suddenly see it's going to be like, hey, you know what? Screw you. You can't treat a person like that, especially with all of this. And you could have a big baby face. And I mean, you got to wonder if the company is mistreating Roman, that you can make an argument that they've kind of jerked Roman around for the last several years. And had him going into Manias thinking he was going to win and then pulling it away. And I don't know the guy personally, but if some far-off universe alternate reality where Roman's like, I'm going to go visit my buddy John Moxley over here, it could create a whole other big shift within pro wrestling. And that in itself would be very interesting. That's all speculatory that could ever happen. I highly doubt it. But if Roman ever got fed up and went over to All Elite Wrestling with his good friend, John Moxley, that would be very interesting, because I feel like Roman Reigns is pigeonholed in a role that Vince has put him in, and he's doing his best to make it work. But I feel like the guy's way more athletic than we've seen. And I feel like he can cut a better promo than what we've seen. And I feel like going to somewhere that would let him loose could make him a very scary talent.
The thing about him is, without any question, we talk about even like, you know, some guys have been able to overcome the bad booking, but very few do. And, you know, like Undertaker hasn't been able to always overcome it, right? Reigns is one of, you know, who always seems to overcome it, generally always has been AJ Styles, but Reigns is one of those guys who's the opposite. He's been hurt by bad booking, by not properly paying attention to the crowd, all these different things over the years. There's so many things they could have done to have him where they want him quicker, you know? And the most natural thing they could have done was just let him organically develop a following, because that works. But then again, they don't like that. I mean, Cesaro organically developed a following and didn't matter, you know, so, you know, that's them. But yeah, I mean, I really think that, you know, if I was to bet on Reigns going to AEW before all this, I would have said 2% chance.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, yeah, I wouldn't still put it at more than like 20%, but that's a big jump from 2%. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing, because it would take a lot of things to line up for that to all happen. One of the big holdups would be his contract. But I just, you kind of look at that Moxley connection, and they seem genuinely very tight and very close. Mm-hmm. And I'm in the same boat. Roman Reigns strikes me as a lifer for WWE. They've given him a lot, and how they've treated him.
And it's the family. There's the family, you know, connection. Not just the Usos, but just the history there.
Yeah, and that plays a big role in this too. So it creates an interesting thing. But I certainly hope you're right, and I hope that. I honestly think Roman will get a nice babyface reaction when
he's massive, massive babyface. Not nice is not strong enough. Now, he's going to finally get. And the thing was, when the leukemia thing happened, yeah, he got a babyface reaction when he left, and he got a babyface reaction when he came back. But over the last little while here, we've started to see, you know, kind of closer to I'd say about a 66-33 split cheering him. You know, yeah. but that's because he came back so quickly. And so people were kind of like, how legit is this? People are distrusting, right? And so it becomes this, are they trying to manipulate my feelings thing, and this distrust in the company? This, I think, finally puts that to rest. The distrust because in the company.
What it does is it puts anger on WWE. And then it puts, like you said, it puts that, okay, this is all legitimate, because the guy would not have walked away if it wasn't. It legitimizes something that should have been legitimate already.
Yeah. And so I think that he will never be booed again, is my prediction. Like, unless they turn him baby, turn him heel. But even then, I'm not sure it would take. Like, I think this is it. Now he's a baby face. Because how can you not? Everybody's on his side. Like, I don't think anybody isn't on his side. I mean, he's there for his kids, his wife, his family, and his health. And he's putting that stuff ahead of his money and everybody else. And I mean, I'm not sure how much of a, you know, financially what it's costing him. But the fact is, that's very, it's a very respectful thing that he's done. Everybody can understand it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things, you sit there and you go, it made the one thing that Roman lacked as a character and as a wrestler that has helped other people get over was a sense of relatability of like Hogan being the superhero at that time. So everyone gravitated towards the superhero. Austin, when he was on top, it was very much, hey, this guy's beating up his boss and he's getting screwed by his boss. I know what that's like. I'm getting behind him. And Roman now finally has that thing where it's like he made a big sacrifice by walking away for his health and well-being, and it instantly makes him a real person to the audience. Exactly. I really feel like
that's been such a struggle over the years to get him to that.
And it's crazy it took till this point, but you know, I have a lot more respect for Roman with what he's done with how he's handled this, because he absolutely made the right move. And you can look at him and go, that guy is probably more of the locker room leader right now. And he made the big play, and everyone else can look at that and go, if anyone else walked away for health and safety concerns, they can go, the guy at top did it, so I feel a lot better about doing it myself.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Shifting gears, because I feel like we were pretty positive about Roman there. So we're gonna get to the mud now. And one of the muddy things, I want to save all, spread out some of the mud. The first one is on AEW, and they are plans to resume taping shows as of May 6th. And this will likely be held at Daly's Place in Jacksonville, Florida, because we all know that pro wrestling falls under that essential workers, so they're going to take advantage of it. And my little sports rant that's tied in with all of this is...
Probably not so little. Go ahead.
It disappoints me that AEW is doing this. It disappoints me that the NHL is talking about coming back. It disappoints me that the NBA is opening up practicing facilities for players. The reality is, as of 3 days ago, there is a strong possibility, not confirmed yet, but there's a strong possibility that COVID could be causing little bumps on toes and creating like a red purplish swelling around it, which God only knows what that could do long term. And the other thing is, people in the age of 30 and 40 are having strokes because of the lack of oxygen that's getting, because of how this virus attacks the body and it's killing people and younger people. So all this talk that it doesn't affect the young people are just thrown out the window. The reality is, we don't know what we're dealing with, and we are not going to know what we dealt with till probably a decade, maybe longer, maybe shorter. We're not going to know anything about this. So you're putting a lot of lives at risk for what? No fans are going to be there, so you're not getting any merchandise sales. You're not getting any ticket sales. Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you accomplishing by pushing things forward? And I mean, the other thing, and I'd love to get your answer on this, if you can think of anything to it. How in God's name is players that went back home to the Czech Republic or Sweden for the NHL going to cross over? Like, how is that going to work? Are they getting a special, we're going to give you a little plane to fly you back over because you're important? What are you doing? Like,
we've seen in other sports that's not going to happen.
So you what? You want to have a half-assed sports league go forward? That's a waste of money. That's a waste of everyone's time. There's no benefit to it at all. NBA, I don't know how many players are stayed within their respective towns, but why? What? This season's a write-off. Just write it off and wait and see what happens next year. Just because you're an athlete, just because you're in sports, and just because Trump had that meeting and wanted to get everyone sports back going, doesn't mean that that's the right way, the right thing to do. Because everyone wants to get back to doing stuff. Everyone wants to get back to being normal life. I want to go up to the mountains. We are recording this from beautiful Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and we're right near the mountains, right near Banff, right near gorgeous provincial parks all around, national parks, the whole nine yards. I want to go out and enjoy those and go on nice long hikes, but they're closed until February. That means Moraine Lake, Johnston Canyon, all these spots I can't go to, and I want to go to them. I can't. And that's a sacrifice, a very small one, mind you. There are people making more bigger sacrifices than myself. But that's a sacrifice I have to make. The reality is, this is an unprecedented time. There are ways to work out the financial situation for these millionaires, because all these athletes are millionaires in some way or another. They've been paid okay. And I firmly believe that you can find a way to work something out with these players, that you're not leaving them high and dry. Because financially, we don't know how they spend their money. We don't know what case they're in. But the reality is, you can set something up and help the players out. You've got owners that are worth billions of dollars that can sit there and go, you know, let's figure this out. Let's figure this out, because this is such an unprecedented time. And we can work through this together. Financially, this isn't going to be ideal, but we can make this work. I don't know. I look at AEW wanting to do this, and I just go, this is irresponsible. Them off, well, like Double or Nothing, because we haven't talked about that either. That's going to be live on pay-per-view. How much do you really want to pay for a pay-per-view that has had kind of a half build? Like, it just, I don't know. This whole thing is just really murky. I don't know what deals there could be in place that are kind of pushing AEW this way, or if AEW is just like full steam ahead. Either way, I don't like it. It's irresponsible. Shut everything down and let's figure this out, because the reality is we're more than likely going to get another wave of this. Because everyone's going to calm down and be like, oh, everything's loosening up. And then it's going to come back and wallop us again. And just, we got to do something that is going to suck. But we need to do something to protect each other and protect each other's health. Because it is now not just the elderly that are at risk. It's everyone's at risk. So smarten up and do something. That's my rant. You were right. It wasn't short and sweet at all.
No, and it shouldn't have been. You know, and I mean, I'm 100% with you on this. I am 100% into the just shut it down side. Just take care of people first. That's what matters, and go from there. But I mean, obviously, I don't have billions on the line. I don't think I'm wired in the way to try and earn billions either, to be honest with you. But yeah, I do not understand why anybody would ever even take this risk. It's just, the risk is too high. Yeah. Human lives matter more than anything, or yeah, at least they should.
I feel like you look at the cons, you look at their net worth. This wasn't planned. Like, this isn't Tony, Kenny, or the Bucks' fault that this COVID-19 has come and disrupted everything. Like, I feel like they've had a really good run up to this point. And if they just said, hey, we're going to get creative for a little bit, we're putting a pin on everything, we're going to do the bubbly bunch and other little stuff like that, just to just to fill the time and fill the void, just so that we can keep putting out content to remind you that we're still there, but we're going to keep everyone safe and healthy, and that's the thing that matters. I just think of the people that would have to travel, like the Bucks would have to travel from Reseda and SCU. Like, I thought it was risky what they did, but I enjoyed what we got from BTE with the matches and just some of the things, because I feel like it was all kept within a very kind of close-knit group, and it was all guys that have been fairly close, but still wasn't the right thing to do. But I thought if you made little content like that, I think everyone's going to understand right now. I really do.
I agree with you. And, you know, I mean, that's a boring take to agree with you. I wish, you know, wish I could say I did it differently, but I can't. I, you know, you're right on this. Like, it's, I am pretty much convinced that we have not seen the worst of this yet. And that's the thing. And this is rough. It's rough on everybody. I know a lot of people. It's the way it's affected people's lives. And you know, and again, that you're not special. You're not privileged because you're sports. And I know that you affect the public a lot more than, you know, a lot of other things. But this is like, if they go too early, it's just going to get worse. I don't want to see so many. I that's my fear. I'm convinced that we have not yet seen the worst of it, especially if it comes back. It's just going to get from where the curve is starting to flatten. It's just going to amp back up, and it's going to be worse than the second go around. I'm positive that's going to happen, and it starts with things like sports coming back, because it pushes, why is sports the only thing back? And it pushes other things to come back, and then, you know, just shut it down, you know. And the funny thing is, like you say, if anybody has the resources to just shut it down, it's groups like this. They have the resources to do this in ways that so many other companies don't. Restaurants, small businesses, and these things. They have the resources to. How many NFL owners or NHL owners or any of these things are going to go bankrupt if the W, or, you know, if their season doesn't go off? How many of them are going to be having to call for government assistance in for just to be able to eat? You know, how many of them? I don't think it's going to be an awful lot of them, you know, that's for damn sure. The whole thing makes me very, what's the word? Uncomfortable isn't even the right word. It's just sad. And I agree with you again. It makes me more sad than angry, you know, more sad than angry for me.
You look at it and it's just, it's like little rocks that get dumped in your stomach, just more and more as you hear, we got to get this going. We got to get this going. And it's just, no, you don't. Trust me.
We all want it. I want to get it going. We want it. Doesn't mean it should happen.
It's that basic fundamental of, you want that piece of cake, but you know if you eat that piece of cake, it's going to upset your stomach. So I shouldn't have that piece of cake. And having the control to be like, this is going to make me sick, I can't have it. And being able to walk away and just being like, you know, I want this, but I can't have it right now. And I gave my rant, and I just look at this and it just disappoints me. And really, the one wrestling company in North America that has handled this well is Ring of Honor. Of all the companies that have done the best, they are paying their talent, as far as that's been reported, and they have no plans on running any shows. Who would have imagined Ring of Honor would be
WWE is on its way to record profits, even with everything in COVID, on its way to record profits, and cut a bunch of people. And ROH, which was struggling, is keeping. Now, don't get me wrong. Sinclair is, you know, obviously loaded Like, they're super rich. But the fact is that if all the companies that you would expect to, they're also a very conservative company, more conservative than Fox News. And so you kind of would expect them to not be, you know, so, but they are. They're handling it right. Like you say, Ring of Honor of all things. it's really, like, we already talked about it in the last show. We talked about the releases, but since then, even like more news has come out. And here's the thing. Okay, so Vince McMahon and the WWE, you know, I mean, like 1.8 million people watch Raw this week. And I'm going to go back to the Saudi thing as an example here to try and formulate my thoughts properly here. They're making incredible amount of money off the Saudi Arabia thing. But it probably cost them, what would you say? I think they probably lost 100,000 fans directly because of the Saudi Arabia thing. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it'd be between 80 and 100. I think that's a very reasonable and fair number.
Okay, so, I mean, I suppose 100,000 people, you know, if they're all getting the network and they're all, you know, that's probably what, you know, maybe it's $5 million in revenue in a year. And obviously they're getting paid more than that from Saudi. So I understand it. But it eroded their fan base. And I feel like this did this too. They have eroded their fan base because, especially in this day and age, in this environment, a lot of people are not comfortable with a company that is won't stand up for its employees, you know, and WWE is fighting a losing battle more and more and more from these things as far as public perception. And all of it just kind of, I don't think people that left because of Saudi are coming back. And I don't think people that are leaving, I think this has cost them fans. And I don't think these people are coming back. And, you know, obviously some would come back if you get the right character and the right angle or you develop new fans. But we've seen no evidence they can do either one of those things right now. So the idea that we're going to save an employee salary is about $700,000 a month when you're making, you know, $18 million more a month than you were previously, thanks to your television deal, that will escalate as the years go on. It's not set at this rate. It's going to continue to get higher. The fact that they would do that is disgusting, but the fact that they would do that when they can't see that their own damage that they're doing to their own company's reputation and to the fan support, they can't see that correlation. That's really scary to me. And of course, when we say they can't, we really largely mean he.
Yeah, there's one person.
Yeah.
There's one person. And to even add on to your point, so have you kept up to date with Sarah Logan and Drake Maverick?
Sarah Logan and Drake, what do you mean kept up to, you mean with them being used or Sarah Logan being there and then being told, you know, that she wasn't being used, but they figure they can do it because after all, you were being paid for the next 90 days, so we can still use you? That part? Yep.
And Drake Maverick, where he has that promo and then he has another promo tied in with him doing the tournament, and it just feels like it's like, well, I think maybe people went to bat and maybe Maverick's got his job back, or they're like, you will have work after this and we're gonna bring you back in, just because they saw what his promo was and were impressed with what character he had produced and what he could do when kind of let loose. And all it is yeah, we're gonna use you for the 90 days and then see you later. And it's just like, that seems so counterintuitive. If I'm releasing all these people, if I'm Vince McMahon, I've released all these people, I'm not bringing them back for the 90 days and being like, well, use you for 90 days. Because you're just going to heat one of them. You potentially could heat one of them up when they leave and be like, oh, well, we want to pay you this. And you'd be like, well, no, my value is this now. So if you want me, you pay me this. And then they go off somewhere else. Like, it just seems so incredibly stupid not to have said, hey, we're going to hire you back because we made a mistake and we're going to bring you back in. Maverick, your promo was great. We're going to have you win the Cruiserweight Best of the Super Juniors, and we're going to put the title on you, and then we'll start figuring stuff out for you from there. But we're bringing you back, and we're going to turn this into horrible thing that we did into at least a somewhat interesting storyline and help elevate you. And instead, they're like, yeah, we'll keep you. We're going to use you. You're going to get to cut these very sympathetic babyface promos. If a crowd was there, they want you to win because you're extremely likable. And then we're just going to kick you to the curb after all of this. It just... Oh! It makes my head hurt, Mo. I know.
I have to say, I don't think he's going to have trouble getting work, so that's a good thing. You know, that he will. Sarah Logan, to me, that one's weirder because her husband still works there.
No.
That's the part, that's the one that really is weird to me. And really, you'd think that they would not want to lose the Viking Raiders, that they would be on the hey, these guys will go to AEW and help them list. You know?
They have a stacked tag team division. They take the War Raiders, they get the Revolt, who is the Revival's new name, and you've suddenly got this killer tag team division. And the War Raiders could easily go back to Japan, along with Gallows and Anderson, and probably the Revival will do stuff. I remember you at the beginning of the podcast, you talked about the tag team league being kind of your downtime. I feel like if it runs next year and it has the Revolt, G.O.D., and the Good Brothers back in New Japan, I feel like it suddenly becomes, oh, crap, I kind of want to watch that now. And
yeah, absolutely.
And if you throw the War Raiders into the mix, then you've suddenly got an even better tag team tournament that I think more people will tune into. And if the War Raiders are doing the split with Japan and AEW, you've just handed your two biggest competitors right now top grade A talent.
And you can't tell me that there isn't that right now they, both of them, especially what's his name, Roe, you know, whose wife, who's married to Sarah Logan. You can't tell me that he isn't sitting there going right now, yeah, I'll leave. I'm happy to leave after what they did. I saw him on Twitter, like, what was it? He said something like that after the releases, something like, this is such a painful day. You know? Yeah.
It is. Because that's a household that has been...
So did you cancel your network subscription yet?
No, I'm still going back and watching old matches. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's true. You know, you can't just do that like I did on YouTube or something.
See, that is the other thing the company does. They do upload a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. I think once I burn through some of my list of some old matches, I think it's going to be gonzo. Because they're just...
Tough, just, man.
Just brutal.
You don't want to support a company that treats their people like this. In this situation.
Oh, yeah. No, you really don't. And... It's funny because there's a one of the gentlemen that I work with has we'll talk about wrestling here and there, and he's just recently got into Dark Side of the Ring, and he got up to the end of the New Jack episode, and then he was watching the Brawl for him. So he saw everything, and his end comment afterwards were like, "Wow, the McMahons suck." That especially after the Benoit episode and talking about some of the stuff that have happened over the course with David Benoit and the WWE and just WWE in general, I have never had a positive conversation where it's like, God darn it, that WWE company is so darn great and Vince McMahon's the best. I've never had a conversation where that is the sentiment. It's either, tricky Vince is getting away with it again. Or it's like, what are they doing? How are they doing this? Like, there's never been a positive, this is the company to work for.
And it goes back to what I've been saying about, like, what I say about them. They're eroding their fan base. Little things like that. And we've seen this now, that nothing can, one thing can kill them. You know, people being aware about Nancy Argentino and what happened there for a while, and certainly Vince McMahon sounds pretty shady, right? And then there's the, you know, the drug trial that he had in the 90s, you know, for steroids. And like, there's been all these little things. None of it ever takes them down. But what it is it's slowly creating an image that they're never going to be able to get out. And it's happening very slowly, but they're constantly all this stuff about who they are and the way they behave and the way that people want to be, you know, it's like your sports team. You want good players, you know, but you don't want to hear their dicks either. It's tough to cheer for them, even if they're a great player, if they're a dick. And wrestling's the same way.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. That has been I think that's one of the holdups with someone like Charlotte, because you just have heard enough stories and you saw how she treated Kairi Sane with the concussion and that whole match. And you just go, I don't want to cheer for this person. No. Like, this doesn't, like, Asuka and Becky came out like sunshine and rainbows from that because they handled it like adults. And it absolutely speaks to, it even goes into, like, the Jordan doc. Like, you see what Jordan did and you're like, man, Jordan's really, 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 really good, but... You sit there and you kind of go, eh, but he's a little bit of an asshole. And by a little, I mean a lot. Just, yeah, I think the key word with WWE, the two key words I've heard with WWE doing this podcast and talking between you and Douglas Winnipeg and Josh is erosion and atrophy. It feels like WWE is atrophied. And they're eroding away. Like, they're not moving, and it's slowly starting to erode what this product is, and I don't know what the future for this company is.
Yeah, no, I agree. There's no reason to think that they're going to stop the slide. There's nothing out there that makes you think that's going to ever happen now. And that's why I kept on, I've been always like, you know, it's hard to believe because they're going to set record profits with record low popularity. And that's they've got – it's like luck has to run out at some point. It's not for a while still. But I just don't see – there's one more nail in the coffin, right? Or it's just – this feels like one more nail in the coffin.
Yeah, and the coffin, they're slowly circling the thing. And you see it, and you're like, you're yelling at the guy hammering the nails. And the guy that's handing the nails is Vince McMahon. And you're like, what are you doing? Don't give them another nail. You don't, no, get the hammer and start plucking these nails out, because you've got to turn things around. But they're not. They just keep going, whack, whack, whack. Here's another nail, pal. It's good shit. You're like, what are you doing? And speaking of
it's what sad. Are you doing? It's sad. It's so hard, isn't it? You got to. We got to support them because we want to support the wrestlers and because we love wrestling and there's not many places we can go see it. But in order to do it, we wish we could do it without giving the McMahons any money. But you can't. And it's like this constant battle for your soul almost. You know what I mean? It's just brutal.
It is. Because even when talking to people and being like, yeah, McMahons suck. I'm like, I gave them money for WrestleMania last year. I'm sorry. Yeah. And NXT, and I'm like,
but I love wrestling, right? And you want to support an AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan and Cesaro and Becky Lynch, and you want to support these people.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So someone on Reddit posted a clip of Brock Lesnar in the Calf Crusher in his match against AJ Styles at Survivor Series. And then the LaBelle lock with Brian, and just the selling and Brian throwing the punches, and then Brock just pummeling AJ, but you can see that Brock's fist is the one taking all the brunt of everything. Yeah. And you remember those two matches, and I love those two matches. Those are two of the more recent Brock matches that I really enjoyed. And you're just like, yeah, wrestling can be great sometimes. Like, those were great matches. Both of them at different points suckered me in, and I was like, okay, AJ's going to win and Brian's going to win. Ultimately, it didn't play out that way, but you get suckered in for a moment, and I think that's what being a fan is getting suckered into these moments.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Speaking of moments, one of the guys with the brightest stars in NXT and just generally could have been something for professional wrestling, his career may already be cut short. So Velveteen Dream, who has not been great since coming back, but that's neither here nor there, he is alleged that he has sent unsolicited pictures that are inappropriate to a 17-year-old and his or her friends, which were allegedly 15 and 16. The evidence against Dream include his phone number in the Washington area and a audio clip of his voice asking, "What school did you go to?" Not knowing what type of school he's asking about, just what school. Dream has denied this in a tweet saying, "Be assured, I did not communicate inappropriately with anyone. A private photo of mine was shared without my consent or knowledge, and I am working with a third party to look into this matter." No charges have been filed against Velveteen Dream, and WWE has not issued any comment at this time. And at this time, I have not seen any comment. Holy crap. This is one of those situations where if he's guilty, you throw the book at him. Absolutely. And then throw another couple books at him. If he is innocent, then that needs to be addressed and said to the world. I don't know what to make of this because, I mean, this could be a situation of adolescent young kids who are known for being not the brightest, lying about their age and then being like, haha, we caught ya. And that could be, there's a couple different ways that this could play out. But I think Dream shot at becoming NXT champion. I think regardless if he's innocent, guilty, I think his reputation has taken a massive hit, a very massive hit. And I'm very curious to see how this plays out.
Yeah. So far there's nothing that is, massive evidence that he has done anything wrong yet. When this went down, I was pretty much like, well, historically, people don't come forward in these situations most of the time unless they have evidence. Instead of coming forward, in fact, what they'll do is they'll try and blackmail. If they have evidence that isn't great, but they think it's enough that they can damage the person. Typically that's what you do. And if you come forward, it's because you think it's legit and you have, you know, the evidence to prove it. So that's my first instinct was, I lean towards a good chance that this is true. And I said that to you, you know, privately. That said, looking at it so far, I'm not seeing the evidence yet. So, what we're going to see here, this is going to play out for a while. I could definitely see him, if he was hacked and somebody shared a photo with him, the whole thing about, you know, him, you know, what school do you go to? I mean, that's nothing there, really. Like, yeah. that could be any one of a billion things. I mean, legitimately, it could have been fans that he could have been like, oh, you go to high school. What school do you go to? I'm going to get, maybe I'll come by your class and sign an autograph for, you know, for your whatever. Like, we don't know. Like, there's nothing there that's evidence of anything. But, damn. There's been other stuff about him now that's alleged that's come out as well. And again, there's no proof yet. But it's not a good look. And nope. Lord knows he didn't need it, and Lord knows, nobody needed it. This is one of those situations where, again, it feels like nobody wins from this, matter how it goes down.
I don't want to speak on this too much, because, again, this is a situation where you need to put this in the police officers' hands, law enforcement, and let them do their job. If he is guilty, they will get him. I firmly believe that they will get him, and then we will all sit here and be like, you in 20 years you'll play the what if game, but ultimately you'll be like, oh, this is another season of the Dark Side of the Ring, because this fits into that MO, and it's a shame. And if he's innocent and he's being set up, and he was the other party wasn't being honest with him, this is going to damage his reputation, because sometimes all everyone's going to see is he did it, and that's going to be a really hard thing to shake. I want the truth to come out from this. I want there to be the truth. This is what happened. He's guilty. He's innocent. And then we can make a judgment call from there on what's next. But I just need to let the right people deal with this, because the reality is this is bigger than pro wrestling. This is his life. Mm-hmm. This is his life. This is jail time. This is his chance at making money. This is, like, you go back to that Tough Enough with Patrick Clark. And you just see and feel his passion for professional wrestling. If he's innocent, they very well could have ruined his dream of professional wrestling greatness. If he's guilty, then he brought this on himself, and he deserves it. He deserves what comes next. But it's one of those things where you got to kind of sit in the middle of the fence and go, let police and everyone do it. If something comes out where he has sent a message saying, I like minors, then it's like, okay, well, he is definitely guilty. That is damning evidence, and we need to throw the book at him.
The thing about this isn't Rob Feinstein. You know, there is no smoking gun. There was a smoking gun with Rob Feinstein. But Rob Feinstein also didn't go to jail. So, you know. We'll see. Right now, we have not seen anything that makes us, but I do lean towards generally. Let's put it this way. This is always my belief. I will always believe the victim, tend to believe the victim first, because the alternative is too horrible to not believe the victim. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt if I have to give somebody a benefit of the doubt. But, of course, everybody deserves their day in court.
Yeah. And that's where I kind of rest is let I don't want to pass any judgment. I want someone to listen to these three young victims that are one is 17, one is 16, and one is 15. They're all kids. They're still very I'm still a kid, and I'm below 30. But you gotta.
You are a freaking kid.
Yes. Yeah, I'm okay with that. But it's taking that and going, okay, going on social media is probably not the best way to handle this. But now that it's out there, it's like, okay, now investigation has to happen.
The whole thing about how they've done it and the what should I do? Should I be asking? Should I be going to the police? What should I have evidence? Like, it sounds to me like these are naive people that had – Like, it doesn't sound to me like they're trying to set anything up. That's for damn sure. It seems their behavior seems too legit. Like, so what, again, is this, have they been, you know, played by somebody? Has somebody screwed both the kids and Patrick Clark here in this situation? That's possible. Yeah. That's possible. But certainly I don't think that I've seen no evidence to think that they're, you know, lying either. They're not behaving like how people who lie behave.
And that's one of the things where you, like you said, you have to listen to them. And you have to give them their chance to tell their story. And really and truly, if they're lying, it'll get found out. So they have no reason to lie because they will get caught. And it'll ruin their lives. And they're young. To do something stupid like this would be detrimental to all of their futures. So you got to kind of go, well, they don't really, I hope they don't want to screw up the rest of their lives. So there's got to be more stock into this. And especially when it involves a minor, you got to listen. No matter if they're 15 or they're 5, you got to listen. And you got to take the time to figure out what's going on. I think for a podcast that went from the highs and the lows and in between, here, there, and everywhere.
And considering we didn't have come in with a real tight topic either.
No, it was a shotgun spray of wrestling news and watching old wrestling. I feel like we did all right, Mo. You have anything you want to add at the end of this?
Like a joke? I don't have a joke. I'm sorry.
No, I didn't think you had a joke.
I wasn't thinking about it. These are tough times to joke in, though. Maybe that's when we need them even more, isn't it?
I think so. I think the next podcast that we do, which will be next week, because wrestling never seems to stop. I think maybe all of us come up with some sort of humorous quip or joke and try to have a little bit of level.
We could try and remember. We could try and get the other guys to watch our favorite comedy match of all time.
Ooh, that could be fun. That could actually be a lot.
Talk about them. That would be a pretty good one.
I think that's a good way to go with things. That could be an interesting conversation. Thank you for coming on, Mo. I do appreciate it, especially in these times. I hope you as a listener are enjoying listening to us talk about New Japan and everything happening.
If nothing else, they didn't have to listen to Josh.
See, that is like through the uprights, a nice touchdown. The 24/7 champion Gronkowski spiking the football and then raising the 24/7 title and then raising the Super Bowl, because a WWE champion could be Super Bowl champion one day, and Vince would love that.
Yeah, that could happen. I don't believe it will, but it could.
No. I think Vince would. What would Vince do if Gronkowski had the 24/7 title and a Super Bowl championship in either arm? Do you think he'd enjoy that?
He'd enjoy it, but yeah, I mean. number one, I don't think the Bucks are winning anything, so I personally think the Bucks are going 8-8 and missing the playoffs, and the Patriots are going 11-5 and being contenders again, so I mean we'll see, but of course Vince would look at it as an opportunity. I'm sure would he take proper advantage of it? Not so sure, but he would look at it as an opportunity.
I figure we end on a good laugh. I just picturing Vince McMahon walking out and just be beaming.
Would he walk out any sillier than he did on SmackDown last night?
Oh, I saw highlights.
That walk
too.
Away when he was. I mean, Hunter's laughed his ass off. I'll give him that. If he was trying to cry, if he was just trying to pop the boys, he succeeded.
Just is Vince McMahon in I don't care mode right now?
Like, it sure feels that way, doesn't it?
It's gonna be very interesting if this sticks around for Vince and how this plays out, because he's had a bunch of stuff happen in a very short time for him. It's going to be very interesting how this plays out. But
big thing to me about Vince is I don't see anybody who would want right now to get a business with this guy. I think that's the thing is, if you look at him and you're somebody, you must be like, you know, with what's happened with Oliver Luck and everything like that. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to want to get in business with him. And I think that's one other thing he's not thinking about is, you know, I think a lot of potential partners now are going to be like, oh, this guy, I don't know, you can't trust him. He's not good for his word.
No. And very last point, and then we'll run away from here. Apparently his reputation in New York has taken a hit. So we could see the fallout from this further. But Mo, thank you for coming on. I always appreciate doing shows. I'm sure Josh will be back for the next one, and three of us will.
I'm sorry. That's too bad. Yeah.
I know. There'll still be some good episodes here and there, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure Josh will get.
Every now and then, he's not going to be on them all, right?
Yeah, see? You got to pick and choose which ones you enjoy more. Thank you, Mo. Everything, you guys can listen to everything that's on We Talk. They've got tons of great content in this quarantine pandemic. Podcasts are a good way to entertain yourself. So keep listening, and we will be back with more wrestling news because it just doesn't stop.
Goodbye! And good night, Ben!